Hi, everyone. This is Cranston. I just stole the mic from Joan Comden, and I'm just here on the Voice of Bombay morning show to do a quick interview. First of all, I'd like to say I'm here on the Voice of Bombay that you're listening to on 95.9 FM and 98.1 FM in Rocky Harbour and VOBB.org on the World Wide Web. So I just came in this morning so I could talk to a good friend of mine, Barbara Neese in St. John's, about a film festival that's happening here in Norris Point on the weekend. Hello, Barb. Are you there on the phone?
I am. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning. What's it like in St. John's this morning?
Mild and gray.
You guys aren't getting that big storm that we're getting, are you?
I think we're going to get high winds tomorrow.
Not as high as we're getting, though.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's not a competition, really.
So, yeah, well, you've had a bit of snow, I think.
We've had a bit of snow, and apparently we have a reputation now for being a windy place. They listed us the other morning with windy places such as Rec House, Trout River, and Norris Point. So we're famous now.
My, my.
There we go. We're also famous for other things. We were the site of a Cura research project, which I gather is the background to this film workshop. So where would you like to start? What would you like to tell us about first?
Okay, so there is a film festival happening in Norris Point this coming weekend, Saturday and Sunday night at the Bombay Marine Station. It's called the People in the Sea Film Festival, and it grew out of a film festival we tried last year through the Cura. Last year we organized something called the Fishing for the Future Film Festival, and we ran that in St. John's to mark the Northern Cod Moratorium and then in Norris Point. Just before a big international symposium on rebuilding collapsed fisheries and threatened communities. But the idea behind that festival was to try to find a way to run it on an annual basis in St. John's, possibly, but for certain out at the Bombay Marine Station, as a way to broaden the material that's available through the station to the public, around themes related to our relationship to the ocean. So the People in the Sea Film Festival this year is we basically formed an independent organization, a nonprofit that's called the People in the Sea Film Festival, and we have a board, and the board includes two representatives from the Norris Point area. Catherine Lockhart, who's with Creative Gross Morne, and Mike Brzezinski are on the board. And we've just finished running it in St. John's. It's in Grenfell on Thursday and Friday night, and then out at the Bombay Marine Station on Saturday and Sunday night.
Okay, and so which are the films that are going to be screened here in Bombay?
In Bombay, the station, we're screening five films. On Saturday night, we open with National Film Board of Canada's short called Halupalik. And Halupalik is, in my view, a kind of morality tale about our relationship to the sea. So it's an animation, a beautiful animation, about a little Inuit boy who breaks his parents, the rules of the family, and goes down and plays alone by the sea, and is captured by the sea witch, Halupalik, and taken away. And, you know, I think it's a kind of morality play about, or story about our relationship to the sea, because some of the other films that we're going to be running, I think, are really about, you know, how, to some degree, the things that we're doing to the sea are coming back to have serious effects on ourselves. So I think that so it sort of starts the film festival. And then the big feature film on Saturday night is called The Big Fix. And The Big Fix is the best documentary the curating committee could find on the Deepwater Horizon oil disaster in the Gulf of Mexico. So it tells the story of that disaster. Basically, the background to the disaster in terms of why it happened. You may recall 11 people died in the explosion. And then there was probably, the largest oil leak, I think, that we've seen globally that went on for a very long period of time.
Yeah, and I think
so it tells the story of how that happened. And then it tells the story about what it meant for the people on that coast. The film is actually made by a young filmmaker who grew up in Louisiana, which is the focus of the disaster-affected area. And so there are lots of people from the fishing industry in that film talking about how it affected them and other people. And the thing about the film is it stayed around after the rest of the journalists went home. So I think a lot of people, you know, there was a lot of global attention focused on that disaster while the oil was still leaking. But then when they managed to cap the spill, the media went home, and the belief was that the oil was being fairly rapidly dispersed and taken up by bacteria and disappearing from the ecosystem. And the documentary really tells a very different tale. It tells a tale about extensive use of dispersants with human health effects, and also the oil, in fact, was not gone, that the dispersants were used in part to make them less visible and to move them below the surface of the water, but they were still there, and that there was still lots of work happening behind the scenes to keep that oil out of sight for quite a long time. So I think, you know, on the West Coast, as we start to look at the possibility for oil development there, I think, you know, it's important for all of us, I think, to be aware of the kinds of risks. I mean, certainly Louisiana is a very different place from West Coast Newfoundland. But if something goes wrong, well, first of all, why can things go wrong? But secondly, if something goes wrong, what are some of the complexities that we can get into?
I think that would be something that people would be really interested in, because people here are talking more and more about that issue. And I think that is one of the questions. I think one of the things that struck people at the time when that disaster happened was that they really didn't know what to do. They tried everything, golf balls and everything that they were trying to throw down to stop it. And then people realized these guys don't really know what to do when something goes wrong. So I think that's something that people will probably really be drawn to here, because we have way more questions than answers at this point.
Yeah, and it's a very powerful documentary. And again, Western Newfoundland isn't Louisiana. I mean, you get a real sense of Louisiana as, I mean, the extent to which oil, in a sense, dictates and has controlled for decades what happens in that place. But it's still, I think it's very relevant in the sense that we all need to be clear that, you know, there's, if once you have a disaster, you can have huge consequences. And it's not always easy to clean these things up, right? There are lingering consequences, certainly for the fishing industry. And in this case, there were severe human health consequences, if we can judge from the documentary, from the use of the dispersant.
They also have a tourism industry there, don't they? That was
huge.
Affected. Yeah.
So the big industries in the Louisiana coast, basically, are fishing, oil, and tourism.
Yeah, and right now we have fishing and tourism. We don't have big oil, but this is a good crystal ball look into the future at what possibly could happen if that type of development took place. So that will be very interesting. And so that's two films on Saturday night. Is there another?
Yes, that's right. And then Sunday night, we have a second film, which is also about oil development. It's about climate change and oil development in the Arctic. It's a National Film Board film called Arctic Circle Battle for the Pole. And one of the things that I found fascinating about this film, it's actually from 2008, 2009, there's a lot of focus on Norway and on the kind of technological innovation that's happening in Norway in preparation for moving into the Arctic and moving into very, very deep water drilling in the Barents Sea and so on. So it's a real kind of eye-opener for those of us who don't have much knowledge of the industry and the kind of investment in a preparation for movement into the Arctic and into very deep water drilling that's happening in the industry, and the kind of money that's involved is huge. But of course, the main theme of the film is the paradox. You know, the more greenhouse gases and more climate change we have, the more the Arctic Ocean is opened up to oil and gas extraction, and then as that oil and gas is extracted, it will contribute to ongoing climate change and the associated risks, which are huge, right? And they include extreme events and, of course, the west coast of Newfoundland and Trout River and places like that understand the risks there to those communities from from climate change and extreme events, but it also includes ocean acidification, which is a huge issue in terms of the potential consequences of ocean acidification for the things that live in the sea, and other changes as well. So it doesn't talk a lot about those other effects. But again, I think we all have to understand the scale at which oil development is happening and part of what's driving it, and then the feedback loops from that for our own lives and the lives of people in the Philippines. I mean, that's what's in the news today, and other parts of the world.
Yeah, I think we're kind of here in the middle of it, and you don't always get the bigger picture of what's happening all around you causing the events that affect you on a daily basis. So it's good sometimes to get that big picture overview and help us understand a little bit of what's going on.
Yeah, and then the other two films, there's one short on, it's called The Petty Harbor Crab Fishery, just a lovely 3-minute film about a crab fisherman going out of Petty Harbor. It's beautifully filmed. And then the other, the main film we're screening on Sunday night is Hard Light. And Hard Light is a film by Justin Sims that's built around Michael Crummy's beautiful set of short stories called Hard Light. And these are stories that his father told him. And in the film, some of those stories are picked up in the film and they're dramatized. And then the dramatization of those really quite incredible stories takes place against the background of a conversation between Michael Crummy and Justin Sims, where Michael's talking about why he wrote those stories. And the underlying theme here is basically the loss of outport culture. You know, there's something quite dramatic happening, a kind of transformation that's happening in terms of Newfoundland and Labrador culture. There's something that is being lost, and the stories are used to, in some sense, help us understand that loss, and that's one of the reasons why Michael wrote the collection. So they're beautiful stories. I think you might have some rattling books in your library. If you have Hard Light, it would be lovely to, if you haven't played it, to play it for your audience. It's my favorite rattling book or audio book for driving because of the power of the short stories. And this film does a beautiful job of presenting those stories and, in a sense, bringing out some of those latent issues that I think we're all grappling with.
Yeah, it is a beautiful book, so that's a little hint for the radio host. If there's any way that they could find that, that would be really nice for people to listen to. Michael has read from that at the Writers at Woody Point Festival as well, so people may be familiar with the stories. Okay, and so what time are these screenings at the biology station?
They start at 7 o'clock, so 7 o'clock Saturday night, 7 o'clock Sunday night, and it's $10 cash at the door on each night, basically because it costs us quite a lot to screen some of these films, plus the sort of organization and publicity and stuff.
Okay, so I'm sure it will be well worth it for people to attend, and
I think it's a fabulous opportunity.
And this was all part, just to give the people a little quick little background on why we're having these things here. This is all part of that CURE research project that took place at the Marine Station for the last, it was 5 years, was it?
Well, 7 years now.
7 years, wow.
We're growing old together, Joni.
There you go. And that research, just briefly summarize that. I'm sure most people know, but just to kind of refresh their memories.
Well, it was a sort of research program where, you know, we went to the community and said, okay, so, you know, we've been through the cod collapse. A whole lot of things have happened. And the community said, well, you know, so what might we be able to do in some sense to move forward as fishing communities, as fishery tourism communities on this coast? So there was a whole bunch of different research initiatives that happened through that. Including we did a celebration of Bond Bay, on the 40th anniversary of the Bond Bay Marine Station, and had a series of community meetings that you were involved with, Joni, and many other people, you know, around the Bond Bay itself and that region as a jewel, but also looking at some of the things that might threaten, in some sense, that beautiful part of the world and the ways in which it supports your local society and local economy. We looked at fisheries tourism, missed opportunities for synergies there. We worked with St. Paul's around developing a sustainability plan. We looked at youth, young people, and their relationship to the fishery, and also at employment opportunities for young people in rural communities, trying to look for ways to, you know, where we could improve those opportunities for young people and get more young people to stay and remain engaged in their communities. We supported Pam Hall's Encyclopedia of Local Knowledge. A lot of people she worked with 80 people on the coast out there to document their local knowledge, and then has produced this very beautiful encyclopedia of 90 pages of art, in some sense, that it captures their local knowledge. And that encyclopedia will be going up on our website soon. And right now, our last, really last piece of work on this is to put together a policy paper on fisheries that a bunch of us have been working on now for quite a while. And one of the problems is that everything keeps changing with the CETA discussion and so on. So we're going to have to decide it's ready to go and get that out. So that should be coming out, I hope, early in the new year.
Yeah, so that's really quite an extensive body of research. And what I find interesting about it is so often on the coast and in different places, researchers come and they study and then researchers leave. But there really does seem to be a continued connection between the research that was done and the researchers and the Marine Biology Station and the community. So I think that's really wonderful to see that going. And I hope that everybody comes out on Saturday and Sunday night at 7 o'clock to see these films at the Marine Station. Anything else that you wanted to say, Barb?
No, that'd be great. It'd be great to see people. I'll be there. I'm looking forward to seeing people.
Okay, perfect. Well, thanks very much, Barb. And
take care.
This is Joni Cranston on the Voice of Bombay Radio, 95.9 FM in North Point, Woody Point, GBS area, 98.1 FM in Rocky Harbor, and on the World Wide Web at vobb.org. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll put on a little bit of music now while I let Joan come back on the air. Thanks, Joan, for letting us do this interview.